Our scripture reading this morning is found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages we might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Amen. Let us pray. God, we would just ask that as we continue our time of worship, that you would open our hearts and minds to the things that we need to work on in our lives. And God, I would ask that your Spirit would help me to give me the clearness of thought, the clearness of reason, the clearness of your will as I present the message that you have given me. Help me now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. You know, as I was reading this portion of Scripture, one of the things that I was talking with Lynn about is I asked about the Word as we were discussing it. The whole idea that what Christ has done for us is incomparable to other things in our lives. In other words, it is without comparison. In other words, what Christ has done for us in our lives is without comparison. There is nothing that we can compare it to. But yet we see the example of what Christ has done for us through the salvation that he has provided to us. And it is being part of the plan that God has for everyone on this earth, that all of us have salvation, that all of us are reunited with God in Christ Jesus. And it is being part of that plan that you and I share in together as the Church of Jesus Christ. When we look at situations in our lives and circumstances in our lives, when we look at the situation and circumstances of other people that we know, other situations, other organizations, other countries, we see that a lot of times there is something in their lives that they need, and that is to have that relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And we need to understand that because there is nothing to compare it to, it's hard for us to understand exactly what salvation is. And we've tried to look at salvation and to try to understand it. We've tried to reason with it. We've tried to defend it apologetically so others can understand what salvation is. But salvation is something in our lives that only if you have experienced it can you truly understand it. Only if you have experienced being part of the plan that God has for all of the earth, that salvation. And we experience through the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, when it beckoned and called us to be with God, when it reminded us that we were separated from God because of our sin, when we were separated from God because of our desires to do other things than to do the desires of the things of God. Because in our lives we were in spiritual deadness. And when salvation was presented to us through the Holy Spirit, it reminded us that there are other things that we need to live for, not just our own desires, not just for our own wishes, not just for those things that only brings us our own personal satisfactions, but that there was something more than what this world could offer. That there was something more that our lifestyle could just offer. That there was something more that as we understood, as the Holy Spirit was working in our lives and God brought us to that relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, we realized that we were in spiritual deadness. We realized that we did not have a spiritual appetite for the things of God. We realized that within our lives there was no spiritual activity, that even though we might have been going to church and at times we might have been praying or at times we might have been reading the Word of God, we realized that the spiritual life that we were leading was without God. That there was no spiritual focus in our lives. Several years ago, I had someone ask me what spirituality was about, because they had no reference to what it was like being spiritual. They had grown up in a home where there was no mention of any type of worship in any form, that there was no mention of any type of spiritual understanding about anything, about any religion. And so when they were asking me about what it was to be spiritual and to have a spirituality, they were doing so from a reference point in which even the words that I told them, they had a hard time understanding, because there was no reference point for them. And I believe we see that a lot of times in the people that we come in contact with, that they don't have a spiritual reference point. And so how can they understand God's plan for salvation if they have no reference point to start with? You know, one of the things that we learned in the military very early on in our basic training is to how to navigate our position on a map, and how to navigate where we are in terms of using a compass to going from one point to another point. And as we think about the training that we've had in the military about navigation, you need to understand, and you do understand if you've had that training, that to navigate from one point to another, you need to have a reference point to start with. You need to have a reference point to begin your journey. You need to know where you are coming from in order to go to somewhere. You need to know where the beginning point is. And it's from that beginning point that you are given a direction to go to and follow. Within our own lives, we struggle, I think, with understanding what salvation is, because many times we lack that starting point, the place in which we need to begin. We live in a world that more times than not does not have a beginning place spiritually. So I think it's with compassion that we need to have, and with understanding that we need to have, that there's a lot of people in our world that don't have a starting point, don't have a beginning point when we talk to them about the things of God, about God's plan for salvation. And so we need to be compassionate. Because I believe if people did have more of a starting point, of more of a reference point in terms of the existence of God, the fact that God has provided a way to have salvation for them, that they can be connected with God, that they have a resource that they can access to help them deal with the daily challenges and struggles that they face, I think our world would be a better place. Just because of the fact is they knew that they had a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And it is in that dimension that we find ourselves in our daily lives as followers of Jesus Christ. And it's difficult for others that don't have the same relationship with Christ to make a comparison in terms of how we are living our lives and how we are conducting our lives. That's why in our lives when we act and do something that is not Christ-like, people seem to be very quick to point out, you claim that you are a Christian, but yet you're acting this way. And what is, I think, is interesting about that is they're admitting when they make that statement that they understand what a Christ-like life is supposed to be. They are admitting that somehow through our conduct or somehow through their own personal experiences that they have established a reference point for themselves and they understand what it is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And that gives us an opportunity, even when we make mistakes, even when we make decisions that are not the way that God wants us to follow. We can remind people that it is God's grace that we walk with God in Christ. That it's not because of the works that we do. The works that we do in Christ is because we want to do those things in serving God. And it is in that wanting to that we see the difference. The wanting to because we love God and we want to serve Him. And because of that, we look around in our lives and we see opportunities for us to serve others. But I know for me, many times I get frustrated because it seems like I've been down this road before with people. Sometimes I get reminded that it doesn't matter what road people have done before. It doesn't matter what road they have gone down before. But they need you now because they know that they need something different in their lives. They know that there is something in your life as a follower of Jesus Christ that can make a difference in those circumstances. I was reminded of that this week when I was called upon to make some recommendations about a certain situation. And at first, I must admit that I was a little annoyed because we have gone down this road before, and yet they were reaching out for recommendations for a problem in a situation. And God reminded me, it doesn't matter what you have done before. It doesn't matter that you have mentioned those recommendations before. It doesn't matter that the circumstances that you find yourself in are the same circumstances that you found yourself in before, and people are asking you for your help. I was humbled by that. I was reminded in the sweet, loving Spirit of God that He loves me the same way that He wants me to love others. And I examined and I looked in my own life. And I was reminded by the Spirit of God how many times I have been down those same roads before. And then I find myself as I'm going down that road because of my will and not God's will, because of my own decisions based on what I wanted, turning to God and asking God to help me. Asking God to put me back on the right track that I need to be on. Asking God that if it is His will, to provide to me the insight that I need to have. Asking God to have that divine intervention when we find ourselves in circumstances in which we have done everything humanly possible, but yet the work doesn't seem to be done. And things seem to be in our way. The obstacles that we have overcome and we think we're free and clear, other obstacles seem to appear. And we cry out to God, God, isn't this enough? Haven't you taken me through enough circumstances? Can't you give me a break about the challenges that I face? Can't you give me a break about the circumstances that I am in? I have been your follower, God. I've been faithful. I have served you in every capacity that you have given me to be in. But yet God reminds us through His sweet, loving Spirit, as He wraps His loving arms around us, that only God can. When He reminds us of the salvation that He has given us through His Son, Jesus Christ, He gives us that perspective that we need to have, so that we can see clearly through those circumstances. And instead of seeing difficulties, we see opportunity. Instead of obstacles, we see them as things that can only help us to improve our walk with God and also our walk with each other. We see that even though that we have at times followed our own personal desires, that God still loves us just for who we are, because He has created us. And we are reminded of God's attitudes towards us, that we are saved, that we have come to know Jesus Christ because of Christ's divine intervention on the cross, that He has great love for each and every one of us. And because He has that great love for us, He wants us to have that great love for each other. We see that without any type of comparison, the richness of His grace that He has bestowed to each and every one of us, that without that grace, you and I would have eternal punishment. And it is that grace, exemplified because of His love, that we see the kindness that God has given us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And it is in that relationship that God puts His actions to work in each and every one of us. Before we were dead, now we are alive in Christ. Because when Christ was raised up from the grave, He also raised you and I up from our sins and has given us that freedom that we need to have. And He has seated us with Christ in heaven that is to come. Because we are part of the plan that God has. Because God has already began that plan in each and every one of us. And He created us in Christ. And our response is the response that we should always have, but yet we need to be reminded of that response. That the grace that we have through Jesus Christ is something in which we accept by faith, because we have nothing to compare it to. We don't understand God's forgiveness because it is beyond our own human comprehension and understanding. And it is through faith that we do accept God's grace. And we know that it is undeserved. We know that it is unearned. But because of that, God wants us to follow the pattern of the life of Christ. And that part of that plan for you and I is understanding that He wants us to always walk with Him. Because you and I have a reference point. When we came to know Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior, when we accepted the salvation that God has given us, that starting point gives us that direction that we need to follow, gives us that direction that we need to look forward to. And God reminds us again and again, because of His grace, because our sins have been forgiven, there is no reason for us to ever look back, but to always look forward. And when we do that, we are applying the faith that God wants us to have. And God wants us to walk each day in that grace, because God wants us to exhibit the evidence of the salvation that He has given us through Jesus Christ. And we exhibit that evidence by living a life that is worthy of being a follower of Jesus Christ. And when I think about being a follower of Jesus Christ, I think about the self-sacrifice that He made through His life. The self-sacrifice of what He did for each and every one of us on the cross. And God wants us to live our lives out in the same way. Live our lives of self-sacrifice to each other, so that others can see and understand the salvation that God wants them to have. Because in our lives, they will have a reference point. That reference point will be through us. That comparison of understanding what God's salvation is through us. And for others to come to know Christ, God wants us to be that example of the grace and of the love that He has given each and every one of us. And in doing so, we carry out God's plan of salvation for us and for all of the world. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. Our call to worship is found in the red hymnal, number 704. Happy are those who know they are spiritually poor. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Happy are those who mourn. God will comfort them. Happy are the meek. They will receive what God has promised. Happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. God will satisfy them fully. Happy are those who show mercy to others. God will show mercy to them. Happy are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Happy are those who work for peace among men. God will call them his sons. Happy are those who suffer persecution because they do what God requires. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Happy are you when men insult you and mistreat you and tell all kinds of evil lies against you because you are my followers. Rejoice and be glad because a great reward is kept for you in heaven. This is how men mistreated the prophets who lived before you. Amen. And that call to worship came from Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 12. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our gracious God, we come before you just as we are this morning. Lord, you know of the needs that we have in our lives. The needs, many times, God, are just such a burden. And Lord, as we look at those burdens, as we look at the challenges, as we look at the difficulties that are in our lives, we just come before you. And God, we'd ask that you would intercede in a very special way, that you would comfort us with the presence of your Holy Spirit, that you would remind us that you are always there with us, that you have never left us, and that you have never forsaken us. But God, even when we know all those things, we still come before you with heavy hearts. And God, we would ask that you would make the burden lighter, that as we see the challenges that we have, Lord, remind us that it is an opportunity for us to grow. And God, with the difficulties that we face, it is just a reminder that you want us to put our faith and trust in you through all of the circumstances in our lives. But Lord, you want us to come before you with our needs and our requests, and God, we are doing that right now. You also remind us in your word that we are to be thankful for the things that you have done in our lives. And we are so thankful for the eternal presence that you've always given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And God, we are grateful for that. We think of the needs of family members and of friends, of people that we have talked to this week that have shared their burdens with us. Lord, we lift them up to you in prayer right now. We'd ask that you would help them, that they would be able to see your presence in their life, and that they can rely on it, just as we are relying on you right now as you hear our prayers. And Lord, we are so thankful that you've brought us here to worship, and we'd ask that you would just bless this time. And we are thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, beginning with verse 7. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake, and a large crowd from Galilee followed. When they heard all he was doing, many people came to him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and the regions across the Jordan and around Tyre and Sidon. Because of the crowd, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him to keep the people from crowding him. For he had healed many, so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. Whenever the evil spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, You are the Son of God. But he gave them strict orders not to tell who he was. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 he appointed: Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who he gave the name Sons of Thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. Let us pray. God, we are so thankful that you've given us this wonderful opportunity to worship you together as a body of believers in Jesus Christ. And God, I would ask that you would just continue that blessing and help me now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. You know, I was talking with someone earlier this week, and it was a young man, and he was going through a variety of difficulties that was taking place in his life. In fact, he actually had got a hold of my cell phone number from somebody, and he was actually texting me, wanting me to call him and talk to him, which I ended up doing. And he was surprised that I had actually bothered to take the time to call him. I guess he thought I was so high up, if you will, in the food chain that I would not take the time to call him. But I did. And when he asked me, well, I saw that you called me back, and I'm very honored that you did that. Why did you call me? Because I didn't think you were going to return my text and call me. And I said, well, you invited me to call you, did you not? And he said, yes, sir, I did. He invited me to call him. He invited me to share with him in his life the difficulties that he was facing. And he came to my office, and as we were talking about the variety of things and the challenges that he was facing, he told me an interesting story that just the day before, he had been in the store, and he was walking through the store, and he had this, if you will, difficult look on his face. You know, when we are emotionally involved in something, a lot of times we have this look, you know, I'm going to either fight you or whatever, you know, this very angry look. And this total stranger, as this stranger walked by him, just said to him, one bad day does not mean a bad life, and kept on walking. And he shared that story with me, and it was something that really touched me, because I think a lot of times when we struggle with the daily events that we have in our lives, we automatically think that this bad day is going to be the rest of my life. And that's not the case. One bad day does not mean a bad life. Jesus extended an invitation to the ones that would come his apostles, and he invited them to join him. And I think it's important to realize that in our lives, in our daily walk with God, God extends the same invitation to you and to me. The same invitation that he extended the men that would become his apostles and disciples, he extends to us the same invitation. Now, it might come in different ways, and I'm not saying that God is going to text you today and invite you to call him. Maybe you should do that as a joke to somebody. This is God, I want you to call me. That would be interesting. But that same invitation is there for each and every one of us. And you and I have been invited. And as I was thinking about the sermon today, I was thinking about how I get invited to different events in my life. But I also remember my father making comments about invitations. And I don't know about your parents, but my dad always had a funny way of saying things. And when he would call me to come to him and I was busy doing something and I wouldn't respond in an adequate time, he would call me again. And then he would call me again. And then finally, as I would come to him, he would say, what do I have to do? Send you an engraved invitation? See, some of you are laughing, so obviously you've heard that term before. But God does send us and engraved invitation by showing us the example of his love that he has for us as he has called each and every one of us through his Son, Jesus Christ, and what he has done for us on the cross. And so that same invitation comes to us just as it came to the apostles, but it might come in different ways. But there's a significance here that you and I have always been invited to have fellowship with God. Regardless of how far away we might have gone, regardless on what path we chose, usually for our own selfish reasons, God still invites us. God still calls us. And because that invitation is always there, even when we are having a bad day, God still invites us to fellowship with him. God still wants us to be showing the fact that we are his followers, that we are his disciples, that we are his apostles by the way we respond to those difficult challenges. On Friday, I had a very difficult day. And I just don't want you to think that chaplains never get upset or mad. But as my wife got in the car, she remarked, "This is the maddest I've ever seen you in months." I was mad. And trust me, you don't want to mess with me when I'm mad. You want to stay away from me. But as I shared with Lynn what was going on in my life, I did share the story of that young man telling me that one bad day does not mean it's a bad life. And I was humbled. I was humbled because God was reminding me with a very loving invitation that yes, you have some struggles that you're going through, and truly, they're no big deal, but yet at the time, that's not how I was feeling. And so God comes to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, and he provides to us that call, the call to each and every one of us that he wants us. He wants us all of the time. He wants us to be in a relationship with him. He knows where we come from. He knows what we have done. He knows the challenges and the difficulties that we've had to face. He knows of the times when we've made bad decisions and when we've done things wrong. He knows about all of that. But yet, he still calls us. When Jesus called the 12 disciples, he knew about each and every one of them. He knew who they were. He knew of their faults. He knew all the things that they had done wrong. He knew that one of them was going to betray him. And because of that betrayal, God's will would be fulfilled because Christ went to the cross because of that betrayal. So God knows that. And so many times we don't see the significance in the fact that God has called us to be his. God has called us all of the time to be his. You know, before cell phones and social media, when I was a young man growing up and when it was time for supper, my mom would come out on the back porch and she would just yell my name. Now, my name is very unusual, so it's not too hard to hear when my name's being called. But you know, when you grow up and you listen to your mom's voice or your dad's voice, you can hear it clear as a bell from a long distance. And so when she would go out on the back porch and she would call me, she'd have to do is yell my name and I knew it was time for supper. And I heard that voice very clearly. And the people that I was playing with, they're like, "You can hear your mom calling you? We don't hear that." But I definitely knew it was my mom calling me to come home for supper. But nobody else could hear it. God sends us that invitation many times in a very special way, and the people around us, they may not hear it, because God is calling you specifically. God is inviting you specifically. And no one else may know it. No one else may hear it. No one else may understand it. But you know when God is inviting you. You know when God is calling you. And so it is so important as we maintain our fellowship with God that we are able to hear His voice even when we're with the crowds. Even when there's a lot of different challenges and difficulties that we're going through and facing in our lives, God wants us to stay in tune to His voice. And we do that in the fellowship that we have through His Spirit. You and I have been called. Don't underestimate the call that God has given you to be His own. The fact that you and I have that privilege to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and what a privilege that is. The desire in our lives to follow God the way that He wants us to be. And following that call, being part of that call, impacting the lives that God wants us to impact. Sharing with others the way that God has seen us through those difficulties, has seen us through those challenges, has seen us through our failures, because He loves us, because He cares for us. And that relationship cannot be denied. The healing that God wants to provide to each and every one of us. And that healing may not be the way that we want it to be. It may not be that physical healing that we want it to be. It may not be that emotional healing that we want it to be. It may not be that spiritual healing the way that we want it to be. But yet God knows and does certain things in our lives so we can stay true to Him. I know that if all of my problems went away and if God took care of all of my problems, I would not need God anymore. And I don't think I'm unusual to think that way. I think of the times when life was good and I had very few problems and I thought I had the world, you know what I mean, in the palm of my hand. But it didn't take very long for God to remind me that is not the case. Because God wants us to stay faithful to Him, loyal to Him because of the calling that He has given us, the relationship that He offered the apostles, His disciples, the same relationship He offers us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And God wants us to come to Him. God wants us to see and understand the vision that He has for each and every one of us, to show and demonstrate the faith and the love and the compassion. And many times, we forget about that because we get so involved in ourselves. We get so involved in what we are doing that we fail to see God's daily vision that He has for us. And all we have to do to see that vision is to understand the glory that God has provided to us. The glory that He has reunited each and every one of us to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. The glory of the fact that through His grace, you and I have been forgiven of all of our sins. Past, present, and future. The glory of the fact that God has redeemed us in such a way that we are free to love the way that God wants us to love. And it's not just the words that He wants us to say. but the actions that say a lot more than just those words. But in the same way that God has invited us to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, there are going to be times that we might also be sharing in the suffering of being a follower of Jesus Christ. That people may not accept us or like us because of what we represent. So in that invitation that God gives us, it's not just all for the good. Sometimes there's some suffering in that. Sometimes there's some friendships that we might have to give up. But in the long run, it's for our best. Not for us just personally, but in the relationship that we have with God and in the relationship that we have with others. But within that suffering, God reminds us that you and I are part of His cause, sharing Him with others, sharing Him in such a way that we can understand what others are going through, what others are experiencing, not in the same way. I cannot walk in your shoes. You cannot walk in my shoes. But I know that I can understand and I can help. You and I can understand and help each other. Not in the same way, but many of us have parallel experiences of our sufferings, the parallel experiences that we've had in our challenges, in our difficulties. But that's how we respond to that invitation. We respond to that invitation by showing up. And God wants us to show up every day in our relationship with Him. God invites us to be in His presence every day. He wants us to walk with Him every day. And that is an open invitation that God extends to everyone. You and I, because we have heard God, because we have understood that God truly does love us, we have that invite and we have responded. But God wants us to invite others as well. And that invitation is extended by how you and I live our lives. So it is my hope and prayer that we understand the significance that God has done for us in calling each and every one of us, that it is a privilege. God has sent us that engraved invitation, and all we have to do is to understand what Christ has done for us on the cross. God does accept us and love us just for who we are. And God is there for you. God is there for me. Because we have responded to that call. Let us remember that as we go through today, and as we go through tomorrow, and as we just live one day at a time. Because a bad day does not mean a bad life. Our life with God is great because of that invitation. Amen. Our gracious God, we are so thankful that you have reminded us how we have been called by you. And Lord, as we partake of communion as one believer, as one body of your church, as one following of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, we are so thankful that you have invited each and every one of us to be yours. And Lord, we just celebrate that publicly as we take this communion together. Thank you, God, for loving us and forgiving us of our sins and extending that grace to each and every one of us. In Christ's name, amen.